Good morning, and welcome to the Prescott Daily Courier. This is your volunteer reader, Babs Felix, from the Sun Sound Studio in Flagstaff. Today, I'll be reading articles dated February 12th, 2025. And here are your headlines. Man taken into custody after police pursuit, car explosion. Mayor would have authority to modify proclamations under proposed new city policy. And go status lifted for Pine Flats. Brady Fire no longer a threat to the community. And here are your details. Man taken into custody after police pursuit, car explosion. A 70-year-old man wanted on several felony charges was taken into custody Wednesday, February 12th, after a pursuit by Prescott police that ended with an explosion of his vehicle in the area of Kenyatta Crescent and Country Club Circle off Thumb Butte Road. Prescott police received information about 4:17 p.m. from the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office requesting assistance in locating and apprehending a suspect wanted on several felony charges. Further information revealed that the suspect, 70-year-old James Crespo, had a felony warrant out of Maricopa County for weapons misconduct and had fled from law enforcement previously, Prescott police stated. Additionally, officers received information that Crespo was possibly armed and was threatening to blow people up, including law enforcement, according to a news release. Officers responded to the area of Deering Park off Thumb Butte Road in search of the suspect. They were able to locate him in his vehicle driving east toward Prescott on Thumb Butte Road. Officers attempted a traffic stop on Crespo, who refused to pull over, police reported. The on-scene supervisor had arranged for spike strips to be set up across Thumb Butte Road in the area of Idlewild Drive to prevent Crespo from getting into more populated areas. As the suspect approached the spike strips, he stopped his vehicle and held what was described as a blowtorch out of his window and proceeded to light the torch. Officers attempted to de-escalate Crespo with verbal commands, which he ignored. Crespo then proceeded in his vehicle toward town, driving his vehicle over the deployed spike strips. Crespo turned into the residential area off Thumb Butte Road onto Country Club Circle. Prescott police officers and Yavapai County Sheriff's deputies located Crespo in his vehicle in the area of Country Club Circle and Kenyatta Crescent. Police stated that Crespo proceeded to ram a Prescott police vehicle prior to being blocked by Yavapai County Sheriff deputies' vehicles. At this time, an explosion occurred inside Crespo's vehicle, which was engulfed in flames. Crespo exited his vehicle with a propane tank and a blowtorch. Less than lethal force options were utilized to take Crespo into custody, police said. The explosion also ignited a Yavapai County Sheriff deputy's vehicle as well as the surrounding area on fire. Crespo was taken into custody and initially treated on the scene prior to being transported to Yavapai Regional Medical Center. Crespo was flown to a Phoenix area hospital for further treatment of his injuries. No officers, deputies, or bystanders were injured as a result of this incident. Currently, this incident is still being actively investigated. Further details will be released as they become available. Prescott Mayor would have authority to modify proclamations under proposed new city policy. By Cindy Barks. A proposed policy change that arose in part over a recent city proclamation honoring Martin Luther King Jr. Day would give the Prescott mayor authority to modify or deny a proclamation. The Prescott City Council discussed its policy on handling proclamations on Tuesday, February 11th, and ultimately asked city staff to bring back a revised proclamation policy that would, among other things, allow the mayor to edit proposed proclamations. The policy change is scheduled to be on the city council agenda for a vote on Tuesday, February 25th. Although proclamations are typically a non-contentious part of Prescott City Council meetings, the January 14th, 2025 proclamation honoring the January 20 Martin Luther King Jr. Day ended up generating debate in the community. After the January meeting, Mayor Feelgood read a statement saying he had opted not to approve or sign the 2025 proclamation honoring MLK Day. He cited a number of concerns with the wording of the document, including the change from previous years of replacing the word equality with the word equity. The proclamation, which was read at the meeting by City Councilman Brandon Montoya, was also signed by the councilman rather than the mayor, a situation that rarely, if ever, happens with city proclamations. Montoya later explained that when Good had declined to approve or sign the proclamation, the city clerk's office had sent out a message to council members per the city's existing policy, asking if other members were interested in approving it. Montoya agreed, and Councilman Eric Moore signed on as the second council member needed for the approval. The incident later generated a host of questions in the community about who wrote the proclamation and why Good did not simply modify the wording that he did not agree with. Good acknowledged the community response this week, telling the council, "One wouldn't think proclamations would become a controversial subject." But, he said, some of the city's recent proclamations have become the topic of local radio shows. This week, the situation also generated question for Good from Moore. While noting that he respects the mayor's decision to pass on reading it as it was, Moore added, "I think the key word was equality got changed to equity. Why didn't you just change it back to equality? If it's our proclamation, we can word it any way we want to word it." But Good said that the equality equity change was just one of the issues he had with the proclamation. He also objected to the proclamation no longer supporting nonviolence and no longer supporting non-harassment. "That was a series of changes that happened over the past 3 years," Good said. "If we had a policy that allowed me to adjust the wording, that would have solved the problem." The existing city policy calls for the draft proclamation language to be forwarded to the mayor for approval, and if it is denied by the mayor, then forwarded to the balance of the council for possible approval by two members. City Clerk Sarah Sipe explained that city proclamations often come from a past version from the years before that are recreated by the city for the current year. In the case of the Martin Luther King proclamation, Sipes said, in that particular situation, it was the local Martin Luther King committee that was submitting that request. Good added, the group that presented it changed it every year. Among the questions presented to the council was whether the city should continue its existing policy of allowing two council members to approve a proclamation if the mayor declines. Along with the policy options, city staff also asked for council direction on whether proclamations should be issued every year for annual events or only for special or milestone events, and whether proclamations should continue to be presented at council meetings or should be announced largely on social media. A majority of the council members expressed support for giving the mayor the authority to approve or deny a proclamation, as well as authority to modify the wording. In addition, council members expressed support for allowing two council members to offer a certificate of recognition rather than the mayor's proclamation. Being able to have the right to edit and make sure that there is a local connection is important, Good said. Anything outside of our area or state should not be entertained to have a proclamation issued. Go status lifted for Pine Flats. Brady Fire no longer a threat to the community. After consultation with fire leadership, the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office has decided to lift the go status for zones YCU 2174B and YCU 2216 in the Pine Flats area as of 6 p.m. Wednesday, February 12th. The Brady Fire, south of Mayer, no longer poses a threat to the community. All roadblocks in the area were to be lifted at 6 a.m. Friday, February 14th. Until then, only residents of the evacuated area will be permitted access. County Road 177 into Pine Flat has been closed since the fire started. Please note that emergency vehicles and fire apparatus may still be in the area as they work on operations for the fire. The Yavapai County Office of Emergency Management asks that residents use caution and allow these emergency personnel to carry out their duties without interference. The office reminds all Yavapai County residents of the importance of maintaining ready, preparing for, and staying aware of any possible hazards threatening your community. Register for emergency alerts at ycsoaz.gov/ENS. Make an emergency evacuation and communication plan and follow reputable and reliable sources for information. The Brady Fire still stands at 363 acres and started on Monday, February 10th, north of Pine Flat on Bradshaw Road. The cause is under investigation. It is burning in brush and chaparral and is 0% contained. On the fire are 140 personnel in four crews with 16 engines, one bulldozer, and two helicopters, according to Prescott National Forest. Cooler evening temperatures, along with firefighters and the help of air support, kept the Brady Fire from growing Tuesday, said Debbie Manley of the PNF. Air support assisted firefighters on the ground by dropping retardant, slowing active fire behavior. You are listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand. From our website, choose Broadcast Info and Audio, and then On Demand. Prescott police arrest three on charge of theft of transportation. Prescott police have arrested three Wilhoit residents on charges of theft of transportation following an investigation into the theft of a flatbed trailer January 22nd. Police responded to a report of the trailer being stolen from the area of the 1200 block of Gail Garner Way. An investigator was assigned to the case and canvassed the area for surveillance footage, learning that the flatbed trailer was removed by a lifted maroon Ford F-250 truck with chrome wheels and chrome running boards. Later, while the detective was off duty, he observed a truck matching the suspect vehicle at a gas station in the Congress area and recorded the license plate number. The detective learned that the vehicle was linked to several shoplifting reports at the Walmart near where the flatbed trailer was stolen and that it was registered to an address in Wilhoit. Detectives performed surveillance on the property in Wilhoit and observed the stolen flatbed trailer. A search warrant was granted for the property, resulting in the recovery of the trailer, stolen merchandise from the Prescott Walmart, and the recovery of a travel trailer that was stolen from the Yarnell area. Police subsequently arrested 25-year-old Chase Cooper, 35-year-old Brittany Hill, and 49-year-old Jesse Pistoli. All three suspects were booked into Yavapai County Jail on charges of theft of means of transportation. And next, we'll turn to the features page of the Prescott Daily Courier, starting with To Your Good Health, by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, my husband, who is 71, is having some short-term memory problems over the past 2 years. We recently saw his primary doctor, who asked him some questions and had him do a few tasks. He did fail a few of them. She agreed that there was something going on, and now we have to wait to see a neurologist. He has an appointment for a colonoscopy next month, and I'm concerned about how the anesthesia will affect his already compromised short-term memory. I saw the same thing happen with my father. He was having the same issues and broke his leg, which required surgery. He was never the same afterward. He couldn't live on his own anymore and required memory care right away. I have been told by medical staff at the hospital that this sometimes happens after a surgery because of the anesthesia. What are your thoughts about my husband's upcoming colonoscopy? Should I be worried about what this will do to his memory issues? Answer: there are many kinds of memory issues that can affect older adults. And while Alzheimer's disease is the most common, this does not mean that your husband has it. Getting an evaluation by a neurologist is an excellent idea. Anesthesia does not cause dementia. However, some people, like your father, do develop a complication called postoperative delirium. Delirium is different from dementia because it happens quickly. The cause is almost always identifiable, whether it's due to medical illness, surgery, infection, low oxygen, metabolic abnormalities such as low sodium levels, etc. Delirium can last for a very long time and can often unmask dementia that had been previously well controlled. The risk of delirium after the usual medication for a colonoscopy is small. The inhalation agents given in general anesthesia are much more likely to cause delirium, while colonoscopy can be performed without sedation. In my opinion, the risk of delirium after colonoscopy with the usual sedation is so low that it is not necessary to forego sedation. Next, we'll turn to Dear Annie by Annie Lane. Dear Annie, my husband and I have been retired for 3 years and recently moved away from our kids. Between us, we have 6 children, but only one that takes advantage. My husband's daughter is in her mid-30s and has always used him like an ATM machine. This used to be merely annoying, but now it's becoming destructive to our finances. We are retired and living right now off the proceeds of our house that we sold. She doesn't get it and doesn't hesitate to ask for money every month. He has gotten to the point where he only says he sent her a little bit of money, but over the past 3 years, it has totaled over $50,000. That's money we could have used to take much-deserved vacations that we both worked so hard to earn. When is it enough to get her to stand on her own with her kids and boyfriend? This is our only disagreement, and I don't want to rock the boat with my husband, so do I confront this daughter? Signed, ATM Stepdaughter. Dear ATM, before talking to your stepdaughter, you should talk to your husband. Frame the conversation as a matter of financial sustainability and fairness rather than a criticism of his daughter. You might also want to ask why he feels compelled to support her financially, as this might reveal bigger issues. The bottom line is that the more he says yes, the more she will keep asking. So it's important that you and your husband are on the same page. Dear Annie, when I married my husband, I knew that he took naps in the afternoon and did not sleep through the night. We got married at a young age, and this behavior continued throughout our marriage. I'm not asking him to change. My question is, how much do I accommodate this? For instance, I work an 8-to-5 job. In the morning, I'll get up, make breakfast before work. My husband is often on the couch, and when I make a smoothie or get ready, he is within 10 feet of me, and I wake him up. We have a spare bedroom, but he refuses to sleep in there, choosing instead to sleep on the couch in the living room in the middle of the house. I woke him again this morning, and just before we were leaving, I asked him if I had done something to irritate him. He said that I woke him up at 6:45. He also works at 8 a.m., but it doesn't take him as long to get ready. Am I thinking about this the wrong way? Do I need to be fully ready in the evening and tiptoe around in the morning so that I don't wake him? I consider myself very accommodating and kind, but it has become difficult. What are your thoughts, Annie? Signed, Midwestern Wife. Dear Midwestern Wife, know you are thinking about this in a very reasonable way. It's your husband who should learn to be more accommodating. Given that you both work during the day, it would probably be best for his health to sleep through the night rather than sporadically napping. But if he insists, then he should at least doze off in places that won't be disruptive to you as you are going about your morning routine. Explain to him that you respect his sleep needs, but that the current arrangement is unsustainable. Propose solutions such as the spare bedroom or even earplugs or a noise machine. You shouldn't have to tiptoe around in your own home. You have been listening to the Prescott Daily Courier, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, thanking you so much for listening today and wishing you a happy Valentine's Day. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.